Coming up on Central Time, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Junot Diaz will be in Milwaukee tonight. We'll be speaking with him about his latest book.
First, though, the debate over the budget continues.
Since the government shutdown 2 weeks ago, eyes have been on Speaker Boehner and President Obama to come to a solution. But that hasn't worked out. Now the focus has moved to the Senate.
Now Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell are negotiating a possible deal, but some say their poor personal relationship could jeopardize the possibility of results before Thursday.
Here with us to discuss the lowdown on what we can expect from these negotiations is Deputy White House Editor for Politico, Rebecca Cinderbrand. Rebecca, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is kind of a moving target today. There was supposed to be a meeting between the president and congressional leaders. That's been postponed for what they say is good news. The Senate seems to be moving forward. What do you know about the latest there?
That's right. So, you know, this is one time we're having a meeting canceled because of actual progress, not the lack of progress. It looks like Senate leaders are closing in on some sort of a deal that would reopen the government and the shutdown and would extend the debt ceiling until at least next year. That's a big breakthrough. I mean, you know, on the impasse that's paralyzed the city for the past 2 weeks. Of course, you know, as you mentioned, one of the big questions remains what happens in the House. The feeling is some sort of a deal could get through the House. It could not get through the House with Republican votes. And so the question is whether Speaker Boehner makes a decision to allow it to come to the floor and to be voted on without a majority support from his own caucus.
So that's a viable option. The Senate agrees. Reid, McConnell come to an agreement. They have a deal. It could get shot down in the House or not even come to a vote in the House.
Or it could get voted on in the House and amended in such a way that it heads back to the Senate, and then we start seeing another version of that ping pong we saw a few weeks ago. Remember, they were kind of passing the same bill back and forth. You know, the House would add language, the Senate would take it out and send it right back down. And so, there's always the possibility there are a number of ways this could play out. That's one of them.
Are people really feeling a sense of urgency? We've been looking at this debt ceiling crisis for days, weeks now, and here it comes. It's almost Thursday. Are you getting a sense that they want to have something done?
There's absolutely a sense that both sides want this to happen, but there's also, a sense of, you don't want to say optimism, but certainly far less pessimism than there has been up until now. There's a sense that there's movement on both sides, that both sides feel like a deal is imminent, at least, the deal that's worked out between Senate leaders and the deal the White House feels it can sign off on. Again, the big question mark remains what House Republicans do.
Now, as I said up front, people have been kind of looking at Speaker Boehner and President Obama to come to a deal. Why did the focus shift to the Senate now?
One of the things that this shutdown crisis and the debt ceiling crisis has kind of brought to sharp relief is the divide that you've seen developing between House Republicans and Senate Republicans. You know, we've seen this all along, but there's a sense that in the Senate, there's at least a sense of realism about what could be achieved and what couldn't be achieved by a shutdown or by a stalemate over the debt ceiling. And so, as these deadlines drew closer, you saw a greater willingness to compromise coming from the Senate Republicans. And there was a sense that, there's a place where Republicans and Democrats might be able to come together and work out some sort of a deal. Boehner would like to work out some sort of a deal. He's a pretty pragmatic guy. On the other hand, is in a sense kind of hamstrung by, a good chunk of his caucus who won't be willing to sign off on a compromise deal, who want to feel as though, this shutdown period that we've seen for the past 2 weeks and the kind of face-off had over the debt ceiling actually has accomplished something and accomplished some sort of major change. Remember, at the very beginning, this was a talk over major cuts and a talk over Obamacare and stopping Obamacare, and now we're down to the point where discussions are over repealing a medical device tax, and so the stakes have lowered considerably for a caucus that was expecting much, much more.
Do you think, from what you've seen of what they're talking about in the Senate, that there will be enough of a victory there for we'll call them more moderate Republicans as opposed to the Tea Party element, enough there that they can satisfy the Tea Party and the Republican base?
Well, I mean, you know, the question mark again is not in the Senate. You know, we've seen this time and again where you'll have a bill come out of the Senate with overwhelming support, a support of a huge chunk of the Republican caucus, even sometimes of a majority of the Republican caucus, and that doesn't seem to mean much when it gets back to the House. And so, you know, the margin of victory in the Senate, sure, it'll send a message, but it doesn't necessarily seem to result in any sort of a shift in the House. You know, the House is going to be satisfied by what the House is looking for. And so the question, again, the bottom line is, can Boehner sell any kind of a deal to his caucus?
One possible scenario, and I don't want anybody to try to predict anything because who knows, but one thing that could happen is the Senate reaches a deal and it passes the House with a vote of House Democrats and a chunk of the Republican Party working with the Speaker, and voted against by the Tea Party element. How bad would the blood be among House Republicans if that's what comes to pass?
Well, that's been, again, the question from the beginning. Is John Boehner willing to kind of risk his own speakership by violating, you know, the so-called Hastert rule and bringing an item to the floor that does not have the support of a majority of his own party? He said time and again that he's not willing to do this. You know, not that it's a rule per se, but it's just not something that he's willing to do. And the question is, if push comes to shove and, you know, we get to midnight, we're up against the October 17th deadline, whether he decides the time has come to kind of throw caution to the wind. The issue has been, you know, if this was something he was going to do, there are times in the past where he could have done it. This isn't the first time he's been in this situation. And so, you know, it remains to be seen, but that's something that he may find himself kind of up against the wall and may have to do.
Just briefly before we're done, there was reporting in the Washington Post today that the personal relationship between Senators Reid and McConnell, the leaders of their parties in the Senate, was a big obstacle here. Do you see that as a possible stumbling block, or do they seem to be moving past that?
I mean, it's, you know, they've never had, and we reporters, well, you know, they've never had a particularly great working relationship, and it certainly hasn't been particularly great over the course of this crisis as well. And part of this has been also, you know, some political challenges McConnell himself has been facing as he kind of seeks re-election and expects a challenge. But at the same time, you know, right now, that's where the progress is happening on the Senate side. You're seeing both sides able to kind of work together and coming to really just, it's really just kind of crossing the T's and dotting the I's in terms of kind of working on the detail. There is a bit of a stumbling block when it comes to the medical device tax. That's an issue that they're still kind of working through. But the outlines of a deal are there on the Senate side. So the leaders have been able to kind of push back past whatever difficulties they have and work together and come to an agreement on this.
All right, Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Rebecca Cinderbrand. She's Deputy White House Editor for Politico. Coming up in just a little bit, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Juno Diaz will be in Milwaukee tonight. We'll be speaking with him about his latest book.
Good afternoon. I'm Veronica Rickert here with Amanda Magnus. We're doing a pledge drive right now. Why are we doing a pledge drive? Because listeners provide the single largest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, and that means this is your chance to support the programs that you count on. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 15 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. Now, our goal is 35 pledges in this hour. So help us meet this goal by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The programs you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your gift.
You know, you turn to Wisconsin Public Radio for smart conversations about compelling topics, like the one we just heard. You want to know what's going on with the debt and the government shutdown? That's why you're listening. Well, you can count on hearing in-depth, thought-provoking discussions every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, because WPR is listener-supported public radio. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes a huge difference. It makes all these discussions possible.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a really great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. We make it really easy. Just give us your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. Whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe and we don't share it with any other organization.
What happens to your gift? Well, it goes to support the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get unbiased news, high-quality entertainment, informative talk, and great music. You get a rich experience no matter what time you tune in.
That's depth and breadth, and that's all possible thanks to you, thanks to listener contributions. So go ahead and make yours now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now when we travel, I've got WPR's app for the iPhone. We listen to WPR all the time we're driving, 14, 15 hours a day sometimes, all across the country. This station has by far the best programming of any public radio station I've found anywhere in the country. This is prime programming. People should know that. People should be aware of it. People should know that there's something really intelligent happening right here in our midst. When we gave annually, you got a good feeling when you wrote the check. Now, as a sustainer, I'm reminded monthly. It does make you feel a bit more a part of the process, more a part of the entire effort to put intelligent programming on the air. We like the idea that we're putting our money where our values are. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. If you agree with that, putting your money where your values are. That's a great way to put it from Bruce. I'm Veronica Rickert here with Amanda Magnus, one of our producers, and we're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Well, whatever amount you decide is right is right. That's how it works. You are going to give us a call or maybe go online and we'll accept your pledge happily at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, think again. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget. But that doesn't mean we're asking you for a huge gift.
Many first-time donors decide to give $5 a month for their WPR listening. Well, you get to decide what the amount is that works for you, and please know that whatever you decide, it actually does make a difference. So don't put it off any longer. Decide to give now. Decide to give today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you already renew by mail or make ongoing monthly transfers from your bank account, thank you. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And if you haven't given yet, join the thousands of other wonderful WPR members by donating. Become part of that community at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And again, we are going for 35 pledges this hour. How many do we have left, Amanda?
Well, we need 32 more people to pledge in the next 40 minutes or so to make our goal. So help us get that. You fund the programs you rely on when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, we really appreciate our sustainers, members who give WPR such reliable monthly support. And if you're already a sustainer, thank you. Well, make today the day you maybe increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. And you can do it all at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge now is very important. Call to support Central Time, a new program, a new innovative thing we're trying here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Let us know you like it. You can donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And
thanks.
Thank you so much for your support. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Our next guest has won almost every major literary prize out there, from the O. Henry to the Pulitzer.
He's also a professor at MIT whose celebrated short story collection called This Is How You Lose Her recently came out in paperback. He's appearing tonight at Boswell Books in Milwaukee. Juno, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell us about your main character, Junior. Where did he come from?
Junior?
Thank you very much. Yeah, where did he come from?
I mean, he just came from a sort of deep desire I had to explore some sort of issues around masculinity and intimacy in the communities that I grew up in. I always wanted to write about a young Dominican kid in New Jersey, and he sort of came together in a really fascinating way, a kind of a sensitive, hyper-observant, you know, over-educated, poor kid who also expresses a lot of the worst elements of growing up hyper-masculine in these multiple cultures.
And funny thing is, you know, this guy, I think, has some things in common with you. Do you cop to there being a semi-autobiographical element to this guy?
I mean, only, for example, if somebody wore your clothes and drove your car and waved your resume around, you know, if someone wants to confuse them for you, I think that has more to do with the fact that the person doesn't know who you are. You know, it's easier for me to dress my characters in some of my clothes and to give them some of my biographical information. It's sort of the way that, you know, little tiny pieces of the real world can strengthen this fictional apparatus. And, I certainly use my own life to model Junior, but when it comes down to it, especially when I think about this book is, I think a lot of it has fictional roots.
Now, this is a linked short story collection, and for folks who haven't actually read the whole book yet, tell us a little bit about what happens in it.
Oh, God, it's sort of like a weird journey. It's kind of a broken-up novel, and the way that it works, sort of like the look at the rise and fall of a guy who has a lot of problems keeping the girls he loves. You know, he starts out being the sort of cocky, confident guy everybody knows you shouldn't date, and ends up really kind of, we see him really fall deep, 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 deep into his own crimes and his misdemeanors.
Well, I read recently a really fascinating article about your appearance at a New Jersey school. You talked to some kids about the power of art and why it matters to you. And I'm curious, so if you weren't the Juno Diaz we know today, the MacArthur Genius Grant recipient, the Pulitzer Prize winner, if you hadn't held fast to the idea that making art really matters, who do you think you'd be today?
Hard to say. I'd probably be somebody, if I stayed hardworking and stayed functional, I'd probably be, you know, some working stiff in a white-collar job somewhere. And maybe if I had been, you know, equally as brave but in a different area, maybe I would be a teacher.
And it seems like you have an affinity for the kids, and they really responded to you when you talked to them. And I wonder what you would say to kids who are struggling, maybe just to make it through school, maybe just struggling to make it through a day of school, about, you know, how to choose your life intentionally and to do something that you feel passionate about.
Well, but, you know, you can't confuse sort of the guy who comes in and just, you know, is personable to a bunch of kids. You can't confuse that with the folks who are in there on the front line doing that actual hard work that needs to be done in some ways to motivate young people, to give them the space, to give them, you know, the horizons that we all need to plan for better selves and better tomorrows. And I think my thing is when I work with kids, what I notice is that they definitely need way less advice. And what they need is a lot more mentorship, you know. So, I mean, my thing is I tend to just work with kids, you know. You volunteer at schools. And if I could opt out of advice and opt for mentorship, that's way more productive and even way more welcome from the young person's point of view.
And by mentorship, you mean you're in there in their lives. You're not just popping in and out.
Well, I mean, but mentorship, given the fact how few adults are actually working with school-age kids, I would say popping in and out wouldn't be a bad thing either. You know, I think that right now we're talking about so many folks out there could be giving more to kids, and, it's, you know, it'd be not a bad idea to do so, even if you could only do it part-time. I mean, God, our youth, there's so many youth that need us.
Now, you were born in the Dominican Republic, and later on, you said that your mom worked hard to help her family, and she wanted you to choose a profession that made real money, like a doctor or a lawyer. How did you decide to go for a career in writing?
Well, I mean, I think it comes out of an extraordinary love of books. I just I just kind of fell in love with books. I was fortunate to have a great librarian in my grammar school, and that made all the difference. And, you know, when you read a few books that transform you, that give you all sorts of hope and energy and excitement and promote in you adventure and compassion, it kind of becomes a practice.
Do you think you're a role model for some of these kids that you've been talking about who need mentors, who see you and say, this is a guy, you know, who made it, even though you told them you didn't actually make any money writing books? Do you think the kids look up to you?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's a lot of speculation. I think what it is for the, what I think I, as an artist, for me, what matters most is sort of like providing a textual space, providing a set of stories that these young people can sort of encounter themselves in meaningful ways, in ways that gives them a lot of information about themselves and the world.
Now, some people say that, you know, you're just kind of born a writer. It's encoded in the way that you think about the world and the way you respond to books. Do you remember when you first knew that you were a writer?
Whew. I mean, that's a tough one. I think for me, what ended up happening was that I knew that I was a reader long before I knew I was a writer. I think writing came to me only when I was in college, when I was thinking of what are some of the things that I would be, you know, what would I want to dedicate my life to doing? And I realized, you know, writing, being in books, being in story would be a wonderful life. And it was really only to my last 2 years of college that even became a possibility.
Do you remember what books there were that you read that shaped your writing destination, books that you fell in love with early on?
Well, sure. I mean, again, like any reader, I could sort of name endlessly. You know, I think that, for example, probably the first book written by an African American about an African American that I read when I was growing up, the autobiography of Malcolm X, had an enormous impact on me. Again, it was a book that was, if you were growing up when I was growing up, it just was kind of an eye opener about stuff that nobody wanted to talk about. It had such a wonderful critical point of view. An alternate history of America, which was really useful, and it spoke to me in a deep way. But, you know, when I think about literature, I think, I think about the fact that very early on I was exposed to Dickens, and very early on I was exposed to all sorts of crazy science fiction writers like Philip K. Dick and fantasists, and, you know, genre writers like Ursula K. Le Guin and Ray Bradbury, and these people had a tremendous impact on me.
Well, I hope you have a great time tonight in Milwaukee, and I want to thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you guys so much.
We've been talking to Juno Diaz, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. He's a professor at MIT, and his latest book is called This Is How You Lose Her.
Coming up after the news, we'll talk to producer Erica Janik about the best of Wisconsin life. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Over there is Veronica Rickert. Between us, Amanda Magnus, producer of Central Time, is joining us because it's our fall pledge drive. Here's the deal. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all of the programs you hear on WPR. Joy Cardine Show, Kathleen Dunn, Central Time, you name it. All of them. The fall membership drive is the time for you to take action in support of the programs you count on. Become a WPR contributor. Make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 28 pledges in the next 25 minutes or so. Thank you if you've already given. And if you haven't, you can help us stay on track by making your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, join us every day on Central Time from 3 to 6. You get a wide range of topics to help you, maybe on your drive home, maybe as you're working in the kitchen. Still coming up today, we'll hear why a lot of people are retiring later or still working even after they retire. We'll get a taste of nudism in Wisconsin. What? With Wisconsin Life. And hear about a live action comic book. Just a whole lot of variety there. And your support makes all this news and information possible. Give now at WPR.org or call 888 202-2552.
Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, like $10 a month or maybe even $5 a month.
That donation comes back to you every day in the form of great programs. Make your contribution at WPR.org or pick up the phone and dial 888-202-2552. Nobody really dials anymore. Press those numbers. Give as generously as you can.
Because you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite, chances are that WPR plays an important role in that sense of identity. We serve the entire state.
Yeah, on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, voices, music, sounds from all over our state. Over time, all of these broadcasts add up to a strong sense of, you know, connection to the state we call home.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a home we all share, and it's funded in large part by listeners. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR takes just a few minutes. In return, you get so much back. If you can afford it, consider maybe a donation of $100 a month.
That comes down to less than $4 a day. And it makes the talk, news, music, and entertainment that you count on from WPR possible. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your donation of any amount is very much appreciated.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support during our fall membership drive. I'm Rob Ferret with Central Time producer Amanda Magnus asking for your support of WPR. Thank you in advance for your gift of $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount is right for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sustaining members provide vital and stable support for Wisconsin Public Radio. If you're already a sustaining member, thank you for your ongoing support. And if you aren't a sustainer yet, you can become one right now.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's super helpful. As a sustainer, you'll make automatic monthly deductions from your bank account or your credit card. That support just automatically renews each year. It's easy to set it up. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And you're going to feel great every time you listen, knowing you're always supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
Your employer might match your donation. You could double the value of your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio.
If you don't know if your employer matches your gift, pledge now and ask your human resources department next time you get a chance. Either way, though, pledge your support to this program, to Central Time, and to Wisconsin Public Radio. On the web, it's WPR.org or by phone, 888-202-2552.
28 more pledges to go in the next 20 minutes or so. Your support makes the difference here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It makes all these great programs possible. Be part of making it happen and give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, we haven't talked yet about this thing here. We've got a new WPR travel mug. You're going to want to get one for your pledge of $15 a month or more. It's handy. It's a nice reminder of how much you enjoy WPR, made by the company Clean Canteen. Get your new fashion statement. It's practical. It's handy. The travel mug at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not already a sustainer, become one right now. Set up ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A sustaining membership is convenient for you and provides reliable funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
Remember, you count on the programming here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We count on you to help pay for it. Your pledge really makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Later in the program, we'll find out why more older workers are delaying their retirement.
But first, this is normally the time during the show when we play Wisconsin Life Piece, the 3-minute personal narrative or story that explores what makes Wisconsin unique and such a great place to live.
Erica Janik is the executive producer of Wisconsin Life. She joins us now to tell us more about the series and share a few of her favorite clips. Erica, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So where did the idea for Wisconsin Life come from?
Well, Wisconsin Life has been on WPR for about 3 years now, and we were really just looking for a way to tell stories of people you don't often hear on the radio. We thought everybody has a story. There's all kinds of very talented people who have something to share. And so really, Wisconsin Life was about kind of getting these stories, these voices of everyday people, people that you know in your neighborhood, people that you didn't even know lived in Wisconsin, on our airwaves.
Where do you find them?
That is a great question. Kind of all over the place. You know, things I read in magazines and the newspaper, people email suggestions. Once you start talking to people about Wisconsin Life and, you know, what kinds of things we're looking for, people are always like, oh, I have a neighbor who does something really awesome and could be a potential guest. And, you know, you never know. I mean, lots of really great stories have come from just casual conversations with people.
So somebody listening right now who has a suggestion could maybe help you out. How would they get in touch and give you an idea?
Yeah, I would love it if people sent ideas for stories. You can email the Wisconsin Life email account, which is wisconsinlife@wpr.org. Just send an email there. It goes to our account, and I'll look at it and maybe get in touch with you.
Well, I know you brought some clips along for us to listen to, and I know you yourself have done some of them. I don't think you did this next one, but let's play it first because Rob seemed especially excited about getting to the nudist piece. So tell us about that one.
So this is actually a piece that one of the WPR reporters, Maureen McCollum, she's in the La Crosse Bureau. She actually went and kind of explored this nudist camp. They actually refer to themselves as naturists. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we wanted to do this is just because you don't often think of nudism in Wisconsin. You know, usually you think of nudism in palm trees and warm places, not places with lots of mosquitoes and a very short summer.
Well, tell us about, did she go to the beach? And this is radio, so we're pretty safe from a lot of things, but what was it like for her?
She actually went to it's a camp in southeast Wisconsin. There is a beach as well, I'm sure. some listeners probably know about that. There's actually several places in Wisconsin, and it's kind of a family-friendly place. All kinds of people are there, everyday people, and she just talked to a few of the people that were hanging out.
Well, let's check out an excerpt from that piece.
Sarah and Chris's campsite would be coveted by many people. A canopy of trees covers a modern trailer that resembles a log cabin. Comfy chairs surround a large fire pit, and they have a stainless steel, fully stocked outdoor kitchen. It's hot and muggy, and a huge fan is on full blast, cooling them down. Chris and Sarah live in Chicago during the week because of their jobs. As he chops onions for tonight's dinner, Chris says they consider this home and come every weekend.
Yeah, we can hide away from all the hassle and bustle.
While it's paradise for some, not everyone would be comfortable here because it's clothing optional. Heavy emphasis on the optional.
So interesting. I didn't know they would be so well equipped with their stainless steel kitchen, outdoor kitchen. It sounds like, you know, naturist does sort of fit the bill.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, it's really just kind of like any other campsite. It just happens to be a place where you can choose not to wear your clothes if you would like.
All right. Well, you checked out a different world in a piece on Dungeons and Dragons.
That's right. We actually did a series on Wisconsin Life that was super fun. I hope we do it again. It was on games that people in Wisconsin do, or games from Wisconsin. And one of them was Dungeons and Dragons, which is, you know, the world's most popular role-playing game and has a very strong Wisconsin connection. One of the creators of it lived in Lake Geneva. And so we talked to a guy who's actually not from Wisconsin, but he grew up longing to go to Wisconsin because he loved Dungeons and Dragons. And he was like, where is this magical place? And so I talked to him about why he loves this game and what it's really meant to him.
All right, let's check it out.
The stereotype is it's a geeky kid who plays these games because he or she doesn't, you know, can't deal with the quote-unquote real world. I feel like D&D taught me how to deal with the real world because it gave me a forum and a venue where I could kind of be goofy and be kind of ballsy and be kind of macho. We do spend more and more time in front of computer screens, but there's very few opportunities left in our culture where you can just sit around and tell a story to each other anymore in a way that's acceptable and normal. And that's what I think is wonderful about the game and other games that are like D&D that, of course, have come along over the years, that it reunites us with this storytelling tradition. Anything can happen. And there's a real sense of wonder and danger and magic and mystery.
Victory is yours.
A lot of fun. And our own producer, Chris Molina, contributed to that game series. And if you do another one, maybe I could too, because I'm a big game geek.
We'll have to talk. I would love to have you. Yes, Chris did a great piece on Coob. I'm sorry we didn't have time to play that one today, but you'll have to visit wisconsinlife.org to hear more about that.
And leave us with one more. What's another one that you especially love?
Well, I actually really love. We have a great partnership with the Wisconsin Media Lab, and they're doing a project called The Ways, which is really looking at stories, modern stories from Native American communities in the Upper Great Lakes. And so we've done a lot of radio pieces based on some of the video shots that they've done. And one of my very, very favorites is a very recent one that they did, and it's on Ho-Chunk language preservation. They're just beautiful stories, and I think stories that you don't often hear. And it's been a really, I think, fruitful collaboration.
Okay, we've got some of that one. Let's listen.
My name is Arlene Blackdeer, and I am a Ho-Chunk language apprentice. I remember hearing from my elders, and even now to this day, that when our language dies, that's going to be the end of our world. And when I was younger, I really did not understand that. Now that I'm older, I see that. I see it because it's so close. Coming to an end.
I remember this one. This one was really evocative, and it's a moving one. And I like that it shines a light on an area of Wisconsin culture and heritage that I might not normally think about. I mean, I've lived here almost my whole life, and you know, there's these little pockets that Wisconsin Life discovers that kind of make you go, wow, and rediscover Wisconsin afresh.
That's really what we're hoping to do with Wisconsin Life. You know, I really, like I said at the beginning, you know, we really want it to be stories of people that are like you, that you can identify with. But we also really want to uncover stories of people you didn't even know lived in Wisconsin, or people that were going through things that you didn't know they were going through. And I really love these stories, and I really love this one in particular, because it's just a beautiful story. She, you know, the passion in her voice for preserving her language and why she thinks it's so important. I mean, I can barely listen to it without kind of getting choked up, because it's just yeah. Such a powerful story, and I'm just so proud that we've been able to bring that to the radio.
Well, part of why I like playing Wisconsin Life pieces here on Central Time is you kind of have a similar mindset. You've got the variety of topics. You've got some fun stuff, some serious stuff. Was that a conscious effort from the beginning to encompass that range?
Definitely. I think we do, you know, we want to have fun. That's a big part of what we're looking for. We do look for kind of fun things. You know, we've done a piece about meat raffles. That was a very fun piece. But we also want to do things that are kind of more serious things, like language preservation and, you know, things that do get at things that are a little bit harder. But we do really want that mix, because that's really what, you know, all of our lives are about, a mix of both funny things, touching things, serious things. And so we really wanted to reflect what, you know, all of us are experiencing.
Now, you are a transplant to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You're from the West Coast, from Washington State. Was there stuff that you uncovered doing this series that sort of blew your mind?
I am constantly amazed at the things that I uncover, and just the people that I've met. I mean, I'm sure there are talented people in other states, but I really feel constantly like in every valley in Wisconsin, there is an amazingly talented person. And it's just been really fantastic to kind of get to know people all over the state. You know, high school kids have done pieces for Wisconsin Life, and it's so exciting. I just love working with them and talking to them. But yeah, I've definitely learned things like, you know, Milwaukee has the highest number of female sailing skippers than any other city in the country. That's fascinating. You know, things I just had no idea about before doing this.
So what's next for Wisconsin Life? What does the future hold?
more great stories, I hope. You know, I really hope that we're just going to get out more. There's definitely get out more in the state. There's definitely people that I've wanted to talk to. I am hoping that we're going to get more student voices on the air. That's something that I would really like to do. And more great series. The series are really fun. So
who's better, Wisconsin or Washington?
Oh, Wisconsin, of course.
Good answer. Ding, 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 ding. All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Erica, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to many more Wisconsin Life pieces here on Central Time.
Thank you.
Erica Janik is the executive producer of Wisconsin Life.
Coming up, we'll find out why more older workers are delaying retirement. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm Rob Ferret here with Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time, and it's Wisconsin Public Radio's fall membership drive. Listeners like you are such an important source of WPR's income. Your gift takes just a few minutes of your time, and it keeps this program going strong. Invest in future listening by donating now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we are currently looking for 23 more pledges in about the next 6 minutes here on Central Time and Wisconsin Public Radio. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs that you count on all year long. So we want to thank you, and we really mean that if you've already given. But if you haven't, maybe you've never contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio, why not do it now? Support this new show, Central Time, and we welcome you to the Wisconsin Public Radio fold. You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've caught up on the debt ceiling and government shutdown debate, talked to Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Juno Diaz, got some tastes of Wisconsin Life, which we air each week here on Central Time. Good stuff. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So now maybe you've never pledged before. You've just maybe listened to pledge drives. You sort of heard it buzzing in the background. We want you to pay attention for just a moment because it really just takes a couple minutes of your time. It's incredibly easy to do. And maybe pledge for something you've loved that you've heard on Central Time in the last several weeks. And we're trying some different things. We've been doing some coverage of video games and geek out stuff that doesn't necessarily supposedly appeal to public radio listeners, but we've gotten a great response. We've also covered some really serious and moving topics as well. What do you think? If you like it, which we hope you do, you're listening now, make that pledge. Your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. No matter how you choose to give, you can use the next few minutes to make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Michelle Norris from NPR News. It's fundraising time. We've worn you down. You finally decided to give, but you're still undecided about how much to give. Well, here's a suggestion. Think about becoming a sustaining giver at just $10 a month. It's billed to your credit card, it renews automatically, and you can stop anytime you want. Then, no matter when you tune into your station, you know that you're doing your part. And no matter when a fund drive comes around, you can listen guilt-free. Join as a sustaining supporter of your station today. Just $10 a month. Here's how.
You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Veronica Rickert. It's Central Time, and we are asking for your gift to listener-supported listener-supported, that's you, Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. Make a pledge of $5 a month, or if you can afford it, $100 a month. Anything above, below, or in between. We appreciate, we count on your gift, and it does make a difference.
Choose to give today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help pay for the programs that you depend on, the programs that you listen to. It just makes sense when you think about that. You listen, so you should help support it. And we are looking for 23 more pledges. You can help us crack that number and get rolling toward that goal in about the next 3 minutes with your donation. Make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, there's a good chance they'll tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do. It's a little buzz you feel when you know you are part of making something special happen. So help make great radio happen with a gift of maybe $5 a month. $5 a month and enjoy the buzz. It starts with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can join your neighbors and your friends who believe in Wisconsin Public Radio, and they also believe in supporting it. It takes the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station just as good as it can be.
When you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you will be doing your part to make sure that the news, the information, and the entertainment you need is here every day.
Okay, checking the pledge numbers again. 23 more pledges to go. A few minutes to get them. You fund the programs you rely on when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, looking for 23 more pledges. You can keep pledging through the news at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're almost halfway through this pledge drive already, believe it or not, and it's really important that we hit these hourly goals as often as we can. It adds up. It makes a difference. Your support makes Wisconsin Public Radio happen. You are the single largest part of our budget. We need it. You love Wisconsin Public Radio. Make that pledge now. WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Maybe think of making your pledge for someone who can't afford to, or do it in honor of someone you love, like Howard from Iron River, who did his gift to WPR as a tribute to his dad, Reuben Lehman. That's a great way to go. If it's something that they enjoy and they love and they get something out of, support what you all believe in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge because, I hope, fingers crossed, you're listening because you like Central Time, you like what we're doing, and the variety of topics we bring you each and every hour, the great discussions. And pledge because you love the Joy Cardine Show, Kathleen Dunn, Larry Mueller, all the great programming you hear each and every day on the Ideas Network. What's it worth to you? Put a number on it and make a pledge, maybe $5 a month, $10 a month, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I always like to encourage people to give if they have children in the house, because guess what? They're listening. You are helping shape their worldview and help them understand things and learn things just by having that radio on in the house, whether you realize it or not. So pledge for your grandchildren, your children, your nieces and nephews, and get the next generation listening to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never pledged before, what a great time to make your first ever pledge. Get on board at Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Keep on listening.